And understanding the temptations of the world. This is one of the most important passages in the Bible here in 1 John chapter 2. It teaches us so much about temptation and about the world's power and so forth. So we're going to learn a lot tonight. And that's exciting. So 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Verse 15, the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So the title of our message tonight is Love Not the World. Let's pray. We want to pray for your wisdom, that you would use your word in our lives tonight and teach us and grow us and guide us. We're just thankful for this opportunity, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just be praying for the young people next door that God will really use that time as well. But here in chapter 15, we are reminded that we are not to love this world. Well, this world is not ours. It's the devil's. And it's important that we understand that he is temporarily the ruler of this world. Now, God has allowed this, but it's true. Let's go to Ephesians 2 just to confirm it, that this is the devil's world. And he's going to use it against us whenever he can. So notice Ephesians 2:2, where the Bible says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Notice he says, course of this world. The world has a course, a direction. And it's not our direction. It's the devil's direction. Now also, if you go to Ephesians 6 and verse 12, we're talking about the world, and that we're not told not to love the world here in 1 John 2:15. But here in Ephesians 6:12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So this talks about the rulers of the darkness of this world. So the devil has helpers. It's not just the devil by himself. He has rulers. But it's his world. And it's a wicked world. And as you know, we're told not to love it. We're even told to separate from it. Most of us know Romans 12:1. "Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service." Verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world." We're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be different. We're to be separate. We're to be a testimony. When God created Israel, he said, "I want you to be different from the nations around you." God wants us to be different from this world. That's why he tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." We are to be separated from this wicked world, which is temporarily the devil's world. Now, praise God, during the kingdom, it'll be Jesus Christ's. He will be ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, and we'll be ruling and reigning with him, those of us that are born again. But this world is not our home. Heaven's our home. And we're not to love this world. We're to be separate from it. And you know what? If you look at 1 John chapter 5, not only are we to separate from it, but the Bible says that we have overcome it. 1 John chapter 5. That's good news, because this world is a big problem in our lives, isn't it? But God says that through him, we have overcome it. Look at verse 4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." There it is. "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" If you're born again tonight, you've already overcome the world. Isn't that amazing? That's what it says. Through faith in Jesus Christ, the world has been overcome. We're commanded to be separate from it. We're commanded to not love it. Because God, go back to our passage, 1 John 2:15. God says that if we do love the world, Look what it says. The love of the Father is not in him. That's pretty sobering. You see, it's impossible to love the world and the Father at the same time. Jesus talked about this, didn't he? He said, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll despise the one and or he'll hold to the one and despise the other. And then he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, you can't love God and money at the same time. James says that whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God in James 4:4. So God's clearly stating for us that not only do we not love the world, but if we do, we're not where we need to be because the love of the Father is not in us. And that's a dangerous place to be for a Christian. So we're not to love the world. And God says we're to be separate, but we have victory over the world. But then in verse 16, very important passage, where God actually gives us the three categories of the world's temptations. And this is important because God wrote this, but it also helps us to understand how the devil uses the world against us to tempt us. So he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So God has broken the world's temptations down into these three major categories. And we're going to look at those in just a moment. But I want you to understand this evening that this ties in so perfectly with the first temptation and with Jesus' temptation. So let's start in Genesis 3 and see if we can find the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. We all know this story. This is where the devil was tempting Eve to partake of the fruit that God said that they were not allowed to partake of. Notice it says Genesis 3, 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Genesis 3:6, there it is. Good for food, lust of the flesh. Pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes. Make one wise, pride of life. So there's all three categories the devil used against Eve when he tempted her in the desert. Now let's go to Matthew 4, not in the desert, in the garden. Sorry. Jesus was tempted in the desert in Matthew 4. So let's turn over there and see the temptation of our Savior. Remember, this temptation came after he'd already fasted for a very long time. So he was weak physically. He was in a human body and he was weak. And then the devil came and tempted him. Notice Matthew 4 verse 3. When the tempter came to him, that's one of the names of the devil, by the way, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. So there's the lust of the flesh. You think Jesus was hungry after 40 days? I mean, we get hungry after missing one meal. Imagine 40 days of not eating. So the first thing the devil does is says, make these stones bread. You're hungry? Lust of the flesh. He answered and said, as written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up. So here we have the pride of life. The devil says, he brought him up, the devil somehow had the power, or he has power, to take Jesus up to the top of this pinnacle and say, just throw yourself off and prove how amazingly powerful you are. And the angels will catch you before you hit the ground. Why? He wanted Jesus to basically show off, which is the pride of life. So then, Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. There's the lust of the eyes. Wanting more than we have, which we'll talk about later. He saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Just as a side note, I believe that when the devil offered these kingdoms to him, it was a genuine offer, because he is the God of this world. Remember that. So he wasn't just throwing this out there. He was saying to Jesus, if you will fall down and worship me, I will give you what? All the kingdoms of the world and their glory. It's quite an offer. So, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. So let's just talk about those quickly. Lust of the flesh. We understand what that means. Adultery, fornication, fleshly lusts. God says that is one of the categories of temptations that the devil uses against us from the world. And it's nothing new. We'll look at Psalm 78 and see an Old Testament example of this. And then just mention some scriptures about the lust of the flesh. And we need to be aware that it's out there, that it's going to come after us. The devil's going to try to use it against us. But remember, we've overcome the world. So look at Psalm 78:18. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. That's talking about Israel. So Israel was tempted with the lust of the flesh. We come to the New Testament. Jesus says, but I say unto you, if any man look upon a woman that lusts after her, he hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. There's the lust of the flesh as well. The Bible says in Romans 13:14, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. That's the lust of the flesh. And also, if you go to 1 Peter 2:11, we will also be reminded about this first category of sin as defined by God Himself. The lust of the flesh. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. What does he mean by strangers and pilgrims? Like I said earlier, this isn't our home. When we got saved, we became pilgrims. We're on a journey. Amen? To a new place called heaven. This world's not our home anymore. And God says, don't be tempted by the lust of the flesh. The second one now, verse 16, is the lust of the eyes. Covetousness, of course, would fall in here. Remember in the Ten Commandments, the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. Don't covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Does the devil try to use this against us? If he didn't, there would be no such thing as ads on TV, right? I mean, what are those for? To make us want something. The lust of the eyes. And it gets a lot of Christians into trouble. Solomon said in Proverbs 23:5, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, then fly away as an eagle toward heaven. How true is that? They come and they go. The Bible says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied. In Proverbs 22:20, the eyes of a man are never satisfied. We're talking here about the lust of the eyes. And the devil tries to use that dissatisfaction against us. It's another name for covetousness, of course. So the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh are the first two categories. And the last one, of course, not surprisingly, the pride of life. Now this is where sin began. It began before the garden. It began with the devil. Let's look at Isaiah 14 and see this, where it began. And it began with pride, the pride of life. The devil, who was a special being, he wasn't just an angel, he was the anointed cherub that covereth, the devil fell because of pride. Isaiah 14, look at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the size of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. If you're allowed to write in your Bible, you should circle the word I. The devil had a serious I problem. That's pride. It's all about me. I. And pride leads to sins like self-righteousness, self-centeredness, judgmentalism, unforgiveness, gossip, boasting. We could go on and on. Pride. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:16-17, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, and the first thing he lists there is a proud look." God hates pride. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:22, "Lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord." There aren't a lot of things in the Bible that the Bible says are an abomination, but pride is one of them. "Everyone of this proud of heart is an abomination of the Lord," Proverbs 16:5. We all know Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." Proverbs 21:4, "A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." That's why we're told over and over again in the New Testament, be humble. Right, James 4, verse 6, humble yourselves. Or 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. So the world's sin is categorized by God into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so these are the three different areas where the devil is going to be constantly trying to use the world against us. Now there are other sins that stem from our own wickedness, from our own old man. But these are sins that the devil puts out there to try to pull us away from God. And so we need to be on the lookout for them. And it's not a coincidence that we see the three categories all being used against Eve and against Jesus there in the desert. And so he reminds us, go to verse 17 of our passage, that we're not to love the world, and that if we do, the love of the Father is not in us. He gives us the categories of sin. Then in verse 17, he reminds us that the world is passing away. In 1 John 2:17. This world that our old man wants so badly, the things of the world, it's all going to burn up. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 7:31. There's a lot of scriptures we could read on this, but we know the Bible makes it very clear that this world is going to be renewed. Last time he flooded it, next time he's going to burn it up. 1 Corinthians 7:31 says, "And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." The fashion of this world. It's just a fad. It's fashion. And it's going to pass away. And as we know, we're told in 2 Peter 3 that it's going to all be dissolved. He's going to burn it up and make a new world. So, why love it? That's what God's saying. Why love something that's going to burn up? So let's go to Colossians chapter 3, where again we're reminded that this old world is not worth loving. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 1. The Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." So another reminder that we're to live for there, not for here. That this world, as we're told in Philippians 3:20, our conversation is in heaven. Now that word is not talking about our talking. It's talking about our whole behavior, our whole demeanor. Our conversation is in heaven. We're to be living for heaven, not living for the earth. The earth is the devil's. And the devil's going to try to use it to lead us away from God, to lead us away from God's will for our lives. That's why God says, don't love it. Love not the world. And he reminds us, praise God, we have overcome it. through faith in Jesus Christ. So we're not going to be able to stand before God on Judgment Day and say, Lord, the temptations of the world were just too strong. I don't think we'll try, but we won't be able to say that. Because we have Jesus. Amen? Living in us. And the Bible says, there have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So God's reminding us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then he gives us the categories, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, are pride of life. Then reminds us it's all going to pass away. But he finishes, look at verse 17. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, doing the will of God is getting saved. They came to Jesus and they said, What must we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. We're going to live forever. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die, Jesus said in John 11:26. But you know what? The world's not going to live forever. The world as we know it, it's going to burn up. God's going to destroy it and renew it. We're going to live forever. But you've heard me say this before. Of anything on this earth that we can see or touch or feel or smell or taste, of all of that stuff, the only thing that's going to last forever is people's souls and the Word of God. That's it. Everything else burns up. So I guess our focus should be people's souls and the Word of God. Because that's what's going to last. Love not the world. Good reminder. Let's pray.